thank the Lord tonight for the grace of God that has saved us and kept us through the few short years that we've lived for Him. I believe the Lord's here tonight. Appreciate the opportunity of being back here at Pacoima one more time. It's been almost 7 years since I've been here, and that's a long time in some ways. But considering I was at Guthrie 3.5 and couldn't hardly get out of town, so to speak, that only leaves another 3.5, so that's not very long. So it is our prayer tonight. Glad to be here. Good to see each one. We need the Lord to touch us and help us here tonight as we try to bring out some of His Word. Let's go to Daniel, please, about the 8th chapter. We'll open here. This is an important part of His Word tonight, because without this we'll die. We must have this a long life's way if we're going to make it. It's something very, very important for you and I in the Christian race. It's something we need to desire. We need to be willing to press to get. And without this, we're going to be in trouble.
Amen.
8th chapter here of Daniel. We'll start reading here about the 16th verse, 8 and 16 of Daniel. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eulalah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said to me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. And as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, on my face towards the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I'll make thee to know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be.
Amen.
It says over there on the wall, it is later than you think, if I'm reading that right. Now tonight, I'm wondering, how long has it been since the Lord has touched us? How long has it been since we've had a real blessing from God? How long has it been since you felt the very invigorating power of the workings of the Spirit of God down in your soul? We've got to have this, saints. We're not going to survive without it. Now, some may say, well, this is the angel that touched him, and that could be. But I'm going to apply this to Christ's touch here, that as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground, but he touched me and he set me upright. Praise God. I was down, I was humble, I was low before him, and he touched me. Praise God. We've got to have the touches tonight. Have we had those touches lately? Are we in touch with God? You know, tonight, what really touched me, or what got me thinking on this line, was I was fixing to leave to go somewhere and was in our bedroom there and looked down at a card that had been given me. I believe it was to me. I never ever really looked. But my mind got to thinking about that card coming from my daughters or from my wife or from all of them to me. And I thought, now they have touched my life. No matter what happens from here on, they've touched me. If I lose one of them, their memory will linger for years and years till the very end. They've touched me, see? And I got to thinking that you and I touch other people. We get touched by God. We touch God. He touches us. And He, through us, touches other people. And you and I are going to have to be in a position tonight where our touches count. Praise God. We don't want any touches that do not have an effect on people, but we want touches tonight that will touch, that will bless, that will do things, that will set people for all eternity. Praise God. And tonight, here he was down low at the feet. Now, if we're going to get a real touch from God, this is where we're going to have to start. We're going to have to get low. Praise the Lord. Going to have to get low before the Lord. We're going to have to get out in the well of humility. We're going to have to get place that the Lord would have us to be, as a stream finds a bed that is lowly, the song says. And there it is, Christ. He come of a humble birth and a humble life and a humble way. And this day, praise God, if you and I are going to find Him, we're going to have to get humble too. I'm wondering today if really the real people really know what real humility is. Humility is lowness. It's down in a place where the Lord can bless our lives. It's down in a place where we can get real help from God. It's down in a place where we're willing to be walked on. I'm going to tell you, there's not very much real deep humility that is being shown in a way not only of dress and of attitudes of life, but tonight, praise God, I'm wondering if the people of the Church of God in the camp of the saints is really showing the depths of humility that is pleasing to God tonight. Praise the Lord. I believe we can reach deeper depths of humility. I believe we could go further in humility. I believe we could be more willing in humility. And tonight, praise God, if we're going to get the real touches, the real firepower, the real glory, the real anointing, the real strength, we're going to have to get down to a place where we can get it, praise God. And that's down in humility, praise the Lord. Tonight, Jesus, He touched Him, praise God. How long has it been since you had a talk and a touch with God? How long has it been since He really blessed your soul, praise God? Well, tonight we got to have this, don't we? Let's go to 1 Samuel 10:26. Please pray. The Lord will help us out tonight. Amen. 10:25, then Samuel told the people the matter of the kingdom, wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Baal said, "How shall this man save us?" They despised him, brought him no presents, but he held his peace. But said, "Whose hearts God had touched?" Tonight, if you and I are going to get anywhere with God, our hearts have got to be touched. We're not going to be able to live for God if our hearts are not touched. We're not going to even get started with God if He don't touch our hearts. He's got to touch. He's got to set. He's got to prepare. He's got to work in the hearts of mankind in conviction and work it before we never get to God. Praise God. And that, He said, He touched the hearts of those men. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, when God gets to touching the hearts of men, praise the Lord, they'll do things they wouldn't otherwise do. Praise God. It takes a real touch. You know, people say, "Well, I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't do that." But I'm going to tell you, if we'll be honest and we'll be touched by God and we'll move by the action and be led by the Spirit, I'm going to tell you, we'll be willing to do anything God wants us to do. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, I don't really care. Now, don't take me wrong when I say this. I don't really in some ways desire to live in California. But if God touched my heart, I'd be moving out here. Praise God. I didn't want to be pastor at Guthrie. But when God got them in me, I was willing to do anything. Praise God. Well, tonight, He touched those hearts, men. They went along. They done what they need to do. Jesus, a lot of times, He walked down the street. He just looked at them, pointed to them, spoke to them, said, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me." They dropped their nets. They left their profession. They done whatever they need to do. But they followed the Lord. Listen, folks, tonight, He touched their hearts. And they followed Him. If we're going to follow Him through the highs and the lows and the ways that He leads us through the dark times and the blessed times and the wonderful times. I'm going to tell you, God gets to touch our hearts and we'll be willing to follow Him. Praise God. Oh, He touched us. Praise God. Whose hearts God had touched. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's one thing that's harder sometimes for men to do something well than anything else, and that's their pocketbook. I'm going to tell you, they don't want to give, or they don't want to do this, or they don't want to do that. But I'm going to tell you, God can get to touching the hearts of men, and they'll be willing to give, praise
God. They'll be willing to do. He touched the hearts of these men. Praise God tonight. Has He touched your heart? Has He dealt with you? Has He called after you? Has He called you into salvation? Has He called you into a place of sanctification? Has He called you to a work of working for God? I'm going to tell you tonight, when God gets to touching, you need to move, praise the Lord. This is where the glory bells ring. This is where the joy bells are. This is where the power and authority is. Oh, He touched me. The song said He touched me. I wanted another touch, and I wanted another, praise God. I'm going to tell you tonight, those men's hearts had been touched by God. I believe they were probably ready to run through a troop and jump over a wall because God had touched their hearts, praise the Lord. Oh, tonight, has He been touching your heart lately? Has He blessed you? Oh, that is the times to move when God's touching the heart, praise the Lord. Oh, some people dilly-dally around. God gets to working. No doubt most of us remember old Brother Fred Gatke. I'm going to tell you tonight, when God got to calling him the last time, he kind of come to a place and he began to back up a little bit. And he said the Spirit of the Lord began to withdraw. And he spoke to him in there somewhere. And he said, this is your last call. God had touched him. He knew there'd be no more touches if God withdrew. Listen tonight, folks. If we get to backing up, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. We're going to get ourselves into dangerous grounds. What happened to Jonah? God talked to Jonah. He sent him down and told him, said, you go down to Nineveh. He touched his heart, didn't he? Go do a work. Go cry out. In 40 days, I believe, or 30, he said, I'm going to destroy this place. But what did he do? He went from the presence of the Lord. God touched him, but he left that place. And he went his way. It said he went from the presence of the Lord. It got him in trouble. He got on the ship. He got thrown over. But God was still dealing. Praise God. I'm thankful for the whale that came along. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it was quite an experience. It was a whale of an experience for Jonah that day. But bless God, he come up on the shore and he went right back where he was supposed to be. Praise God. We don't have to go through that kind of experience. It's all we got to do is be touched and follow God. Praise the Lord. Oh, tonight, touching the hearts. Praise the Lord. Brother Fred, he started crying out, Lord, don't leave me. I'll do it. I'll do anything. He was counting the cost. I'm going to tell you, some people are not willing to count all the cost. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to live for God, we might as well count all of it. Get down to the rock bottom. Go down to the root of the problems. Get out into the places, in the areas, in rooms, in the drawers, in the places that we don't want anybody to go. And get out in there when God's dealing with us and say, Lord, I will, praise God. If He's touched your heart and He's calling you, it's time to move out for God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, has He called you to be saved? Has He called you to sanctification? This area right here is the biggest area that we lack in today. Complete filling of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Complete filling. People yielding and turning loose, giving all in dedication and consecration and say, Lord, here am I. I want you to take everything, soul, heart, mind, body, literal, spiritual, and everything. I'm giving it all to you. My wife, my children, whatever it be, I'm going to give it all to you, Lord, and I want you to take it and work with it. Yes. I'm going to tell you, there ain't very many people will do that today. You know why? Because self gets involved. And people are selfish today. Amen. They're selfish. They don't want to give themselves away. They're selfish. They don't want to have somebody else leading and guiding and directing. They're selfish, folks. We live in a selfish age. And the back of selfishness is self itself. I'm going to tell you, self is a pretty big man sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, the only way to get self where he ought to be is to be touched by God. Praise the Lord. God gets to touching and we get to lowering down and we get where we ought to be. And self ain't going to be very big. He's going to be little. And God's going to be glorified. And souls are going to be touched. And you're going to be blessed when you get out of the place where God can work in your life. Praise the Lord. Oh, tonight, saved and sanctified. Tonight, are you satisfied? Now, I didn't know particularly I was going to go this way. You just pray for us. Satisfied. Ain't not very many people satisfied in this world today. I'm going to tell you, money, wealth, jobs, homes, cars, families, those things have got a certain amount, but they don't satisfy down here.
There may be a certain amount of satisfaction, but they don't make you rest better at night. They don't make you a peace of mind and heart. They don't set the joy bells ringing. They don't get the blessings that I was getting in the song service a while ago. Praise God. You can have all kind of money in Wells Fargo Bank out here, and it won't make the joy bells ring. As one man said, you might smile all the way to the bank in California, but it ain't going to make the joy bells ring. I'm going to tell you, we need something touches from God, that we set some spiritual riches in heaven, praise God. And that right there is going to set the joy bells to ringing, praise God. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. Have we been called and touched by God into a calling? Into a calling from the Lord. How many of us is following that calling? The Lord has called us and worked with us. We know we're called of God. Are we following in that calling? Whatever it might be. I'm not talking about preachers only. But you got singers. Yes. You got people that have the gift of helps and missionaries and just all kind of works, the gifts in the body of Christ that is talked about over in Corinthians. Have we been given a gift? And has God touched our heart and passed on the blessings? And we know we've got it, praise God. What are we doing with it? What happened with the man that were given the talents? One went on and he multiplied. Another went on and he multiplied. But the one went and buried it, did he not? What happened to him? He got him into trouble, didn't he? I'm going to tell you, if you've got a talent and God's working with that talent, don't bury that talent. I'm going to tell you, drawing out of God. Isn't there a scripture that says, covet earnestly the best gifts? There's more. Somebody give me that scripture and read it, please. I believe that's over in Corinthians also. Touched by God. Oh, if we're going to live for God, we're going to have the touches. Praise God. Somebody's got that. Read it.
But covet earnestly the best gifts.
All right.
And yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
All right. Is there another scripture there? Read right above or right below that.
All right, backing up a little bit. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
All right, but covet earnestly the best gifts.
Yes.
Desire the best gifts. Want the gifts. Praise God. Are we desiring those gifts tonight? Are we reaching out after those? He had five, wasn't it? And he went and got 10. The other one, didn't he have two? And he got 4 or 5, whatever it was. In other words, at least about double everything they had. Since God has given you a gift and given you a calling, what have you done with it? Have you gone on and gotten more? Have you drawn nigh to God? Are you reaching out after more love? Are you reaching out after more power? Are you wanting more of the touches and the workings of the Spirit of God in our lives? Praise the Lord. Are we out after that tonight? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with a lot of people today. They're reaching all right, but they're reaching after the money, the wealth, the power, the authority. They're reaching after worldly things. And that's not going to get us what we need. Bless your heart. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. Covet earnestly the best gifts. I'm going to tell you, there's some gifts that need to be in operation in completeness in the church of God today. It belongs to us. We don't have to say, well, it was the Brother Warner and Brother Warren and all these men back there. Praise God, the Bible was written in 1991 to us too, so to speak. And it belongs to us. And everything that was in the Bible belongs to us just like it did them. Praise God. And these promises were unto them and to all their children. Praise God. And that reaches us tonight. And we can have the promises and the gifts if we'll go after them. Praise the Lord. Some people shy back, but I'm going to tell you, I believe God wants to give us more, praise the Lord. And in no sense of dilly-dallying around, but go get what God wants us to have, praise God. And reach out and get a hold of it and say, it's mine. And I'm going to go out and do what God wants me to do, praise the Lord. Oh, tonight, We're hurting in the work. We're hurting in the field. We're hurting in the pastoral line. We're hurting in the missionary line. We're hurting in all lines, folks, because there's a lack of that right there. I love you. I don't want to be harsh when I say this. This has kind of been my thing for a number of years, working for God. There's a scripture over there that talks about zeal. And He said, come with me and I'll show you my zeal. What can we show tonight? Have we got any zeal to show anybody? Is anybody seeing any zeal in our lives at all? Are we sitting down on a do-nothing chair with our thumbs twiddling and sitting around and everybody's going, what are they doing? And then somebody else sits down, well, they're doing it, I might as well too. And somebody else sits down, I might as well do it too. And before long, you've got a lot of do-nothing and nobody doing anything. But I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to be up and about the Father's business, praise God. We need to get some touches and get responding to the workings of the Spirit of God that's coming in the land today. Praise the Lord. God's still the same God, 1991, as He was 100 years ago. 300, 3,000, 5,000, whatever you want to say. He's the same one. He created the world. He created man. And He created the church of God. And He made it what it is. And Jesus still wants to fill us with the Spirit and the power of God and set us forth triumphing in glory and power. We can have it tonight if we want it, saints. Praise the Lord. Oh, what's your hunger and thirsty? He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise the Lord. We can be filled to the brim tonight. Praise God. Oh, this glass was a little better, so to speak, when the water was up to here. Now it's about half down. I'm going to tell you, let's get filled completely. Filled with the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. And blessed and shouting and rejoicing in the workings of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, tonight, let's not dilly-dally around. I'm going to tell you the devil's hard at work because this is the end time. We don't have much time left. The Bible said in one place redeeming the time because what? The days are evil. We're living in the most evil time we've ever lived in. I tell you Sodom and Gomorrah was bad, but I don't believe Sodom and Gomorrah in some way held anything to the United States today. Take San Francisco alone. It's a horrible place. Bless your heart. Tonight you and I need to get busy for God because the days are evil and we need to redeem. We need to work. We need to reach out. We need to show some zeal and some fire in the workings of the Spirit of God because folks' souls are perishing in a devil's hell every hour. Multitudes are being lost. I'm going to tell you, some people need a vision of hell. Brother Salmon's got a vision. I don't know, I guess it's probably been years since he's been out here. And some of you probably not worked with him near as much as I have. But he said years ago, when he first started somewhere along in there, he went full-time in the ministry. He said the Lord gave him a vision of hell. And he said there was a broad way going down. And he said multitudes of people was going down this road. And he said they was coming to a place of a big crevice or canyon-like deal. And he said they were falling off. And he said you could hear their screams and their moan. And they just went down so far and just drifted out. And he said he was going down this and he saw what was going on and he realized what was happening. And he said the people that were behind those, they would come to that and they would try to move back and stop, but the throng of the people shoved them right on in. And he said he was on the road and he said he was waving them. Turn around, you're going the wrong way. He was trying to get them off that road. I'm going to tell you, there's multitudes of people on the broad way tonight. Broad is the way, and many be that go in thereat. Multitudes are going down the broad way. Look at souls and the value of the multitudes of souls that's going down that broad way tonight. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. Oh, we need help, Lord, to get our vision on the right thing. Let's go to Mark 1, please. About the 40th verse, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Praise God. Now then, I want to liken leprosy to sin tonight. And tie that in. Leprosy is something I understand that is a most gross disease. It eats.
eating away at people. I think it'll even eat fingers and maybe toes off. I've seen people that have been eaten up with cancer. We had an uncle down in Louisiana several years ago. Started out with a cancer on his ear. I believe it was this ear. He cried out in pain. And one time I was there with him, and he said something about the time. I said, "Well, it's about 11 o'clock in the morning, whatever." He said, "Oh, time is moving so slowly. Time is going so slow. I wish it'd speed up." His suffering was about more than he could bear at times. I'm going to tell you tonight, souls are suffering in sin tonight. There's suffering, bless your heart. But if people will come to Jesus, he said he was moved with compassion. He put forth his hand and he touched him. Praise God. Tonight, if we'll move towards Jesus, he'll move towards us. He'll be moved with compassion at the very sight of the sin that is eating at people's lives. Praise God. Sin is eating and consuming and destroying and doing things to people that I'm going to tell you, leprosy and cancer is just a minor thing compared to the elation I've seen on their lives tonight. Bless your heart. Oh, tonight it's terrible. Sin is terrible. I wonder, do we really abhor sin like we ought to? You know, some people are dabbling around with the world. They're dabbling here and dabbling there, and they're treating it like it was some little small thing. And they're not really counting what sin really is. They don't seem to get in their mind what they come out of and was delivered from. The Bible said one place, doesn't it? It said, "Look back to the pit whence I was hewn out of." Another place there, "He brought me up, also out of a horrible pit, out of the mire clay. He set my feet upon a rock and the establishment going." Listen, folks, sin brought us to a low, terrible, miry, mucky mess that we was in. When we get out of that, praise God, we need to look back and say, "I don't want to have nothing to do with that. Bye-bye, old world, I'm through. Praise God, I'm running for my life now." Old Christian stuck his fingers in his ears. He ran for his life, 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 eternal life, and he left everything behind. Praise God. And there he went. Friends tried to hinder him. Neighbors tried to hinder him. Our family tried to hinder him. But he had the right idea. "I'm going that way, and that's straight to heaven. Praise God. I'm going to climb up the highway of holiness. Praise the Lord." Oh, tonight he headed towards the wicket gate, wasn't it? And towards the cross, and said, "Here am I. I'm going towards heaven." Praise God. And anytime somebody tried to get him off the way, he always got back to old Evangelist, I believe it was, that got him right back where he needed to go. Praise God. What happened to Christian? He found it, didn't he? He kept going. He found it. God touched Christian and got him on his way. Praise the Lord. This man was in a mess, but God straightened his mess out for him. There's another scripture over there that I love. It's in Mark, I believe, the 9th or 10th chapter. It's where blind Bartimaeus come to the Lord. He was in a real mess and he couldn't see. And there's a lot of preaching right there, no scripture. But one place there, the Lord spoke to him and he said, "What will thou that I should do unto thee?" Folks, that depicts all the power in the world to you and I. Amen. You think about that. There ain't nobody can make a statement. Ain't nobody in here. There's no governor, king, president, queen. There isn't anybody in the world that can make a statement. "What do you want me to do for you?" "I'll do anything you need tonight." You can't do it. You don't have that much power. Some of us couldn't hardly give him anything, much less heal his eyes. Well, tonight, Peter, when he come by, he said there, "Silver and gold have I none, but as much as I have, I give unto you." He had the right idea, didn't he? I'm going to tell you, blind Bartimaeus was in a mess. The Lord said, "What would you have me do unto thee?" "I'll just do it for you, blind Bartimaeus. What do we need tonight?" The Lord can do anything we need Him to do. What we need to do is touch us, folks. What we need is a real touch from God. Praise the Lord. He reached out and He healed him. He touched him and He healed his eyes. Praise God. And He sent him on his way rejoicing, so to speak. People were there trying to hold him back, trying to do everything. And blind Bartimaeus would not be denied of what he wanted. Praise God. He heard Jesus was coming. He heard this man from Galilee could heal my eyes. He was blind. Listen, there's a lot of people that's spiritually blind tonight that need to be delivered. They need to be healed. They need to be brought up and out. Praise God. Like this man of leprosy. And there's only one man that can heal spiritual eyes, and that's Jesus' touches. Praise God.
Brother Egbert Allen said one time I could see and was blind. He said, now I'm blind, but I can see. Praise God. Oh, tonight, thank the Lord. That brother had a spiritual vision, praise God. And we all need to get the right vision and the right touches and the right healings where you and I can be everything God would have us to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to 5:27 of Mark now. Somebody else get me Matthew 14:36, please. All right, 5:27 is a little woman that had the issue of blood. And said she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Thank the Lord, she had a vision of what she needed, wasn't she? Said here above that, said she had suffered many things and many physicians, spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. That tells you what doctor do for you. There's a lot of people suffering at the hands of the physicians today. Yes. Lots of them. Multitudes. Thousands. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus can heal. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She wanted a touch, didn't she? She needed a touch. There was two-way contact. In the press. In the press. People there, numbers of them, in a position where she was having trouble getting to him. I'm going to tell you, I wonder how many of us need a healing tonight. The devil's throwing everything in our way. We're in the press. We can't get there. He's blocking us in every way. I'm going to tell you, the devil does not want divine healing manifested in the world today. He doesn't want that. He knows there's a better way. He knows there's a glorious way. And he knows Jesus will be glorified if there is divine healing in the land today. I'm going to tell you, some of the mightiest healings has been in the last few years. Well, what I'm saying is that in the last few years, let's say it this way, in Guthrie, I've been blessed, and in others, there's been healings there. That has been bones have been healed, heart attacks, all kind of things has happened because the Lord had mercy and healed bodies. Praise God. One girl's hand was crushed, a preacher's daughter, even another sister had a heart attack. There's all kind of things has happened. Major, serious things. And God reached down and touched them, but it took some pressing. It took some working. One sister said, who went in over there, one day Sister Rebecca and I went by to see her, and she was suffering, and she was just kind of a gloomy, dismal thing was all around everywhere. But we went in, and the Lord began to inspire, began to work, and God sent a healing pine touch in that room that day, praise God. It wasn't I, but the Lord. He come in, praise God. He moved the dispelling, the discouragement, the despair, whatever was there, and he gave her a touch, and he manifested himself in a precious way right there. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, the devil don't like that. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and a violent take it by force. I'm going to tell you tonight, you and I are going to have to take things by force. We're going to have to get a hold of what belongs to us. She come in the press. She saw what she wanted, and she wouldn't quit till she got there. Praise the Lord. Are we doing that today? I'm going to tell you, the devil will beat us out of divine healing if we let him, folks. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be beat out of. We can have what belongs to ours, praise God. Healing is still in the church of God, and you can have it tonight, praise the Lord. It's all we need is a touch from the Lord. We've got to touch him, and he's got to touch us. I'm going to tell you, but we're going to have to press to touch, praise God. Oh, tonight, you know, I believe the Lord likes us to touch him. I know he does. He likes us to touch him, praise the Lord. He wants us to come in that press and keep working, praise God, till we get there and we touch him, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, she touched the hem of the garment. Oh, there in Matthew, it speaks about right here. It said there, and when the man of that place had knowledge of him, They sent out into all the country round about and brought him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Praise God. I'm going to tell you now, just round them up, bring them in. Oh, here's a man from Galilee. He's walking the shores and the sands of time. He'll touch you. Come on, everybody. Who's sick? Who needs a help? Praise God. He got everything he needed. Praise the Lord. Made perfectly whole. All right, touches tonight. 52 of Isaiah, 11th verse. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. Over in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, it works with that very thought right there. It says, go out and do not touch an unclean thing, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my children. Said, be not, 6:14, 2 Corinthians, be not unequally loved together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteous with unrighteous, and communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Baal, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Praise the Lord, as God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Now, God touching us, us touching Him, and we got to touch some other people along the way too. Now, the only real valuable touches that we can make with people is the touches of God working through us. You and Him together touching the lives of people. Now you may touch a multitude of people you don't know anything about. Now one place, Peter, wasn't it? Over in Acts, I believe it was Peter, was walking down the street and said the very shadow that touched people healed them. I dare say Peter maybe didn't even know all the people he's healing, but he was touching a lot of lives. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you want to really touch lives, you're going to have to not touch the unclean things. You're going to have to come out. You're going to have to get away from everything that's unclean. Praise the Lord. We talked about sin a while ago and all of that. Anything that is unclean and condemned by the Word, by the Spirit, and you have light and understanding on it, and it's not right, you must leave it alone. You've got to leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't have anything to do with it. I'm going to tell you that will help to touch the lives of other people. Why, what are you talking about? I can dibble dabble around here and it'll be all right. No. I'm going to tell you, when you say that Jesus Christ saved my soul and delivered me from sin, and the Bible said that we live above sin and we don't sin, if you go and touch sin, I'm going to tell you it ain't going to touch people. They've got to see you leave sin alone. Praise God. Can see you delivered from the bottle and from the drugs and from the lying and the hatred and the malice and the envy and everything that goes with it, and you get a real deliverance and you won't touch that thing, I'm going to tell you it'll touch people. It'll show them a better way. Praise God. Why is Babylon in the message in? Because it ain't showing them a better way. Why is people dying out there in Babylon? Because they don't have the truth. They don't see the real power of deliverance of Jesus Christ that can do for people, bless God. They need a real deliverance. They've had it sugar-coated and topped down with cherries and had it smoothed over and silked and everything you want to say about it. But they're not getting the real good truth, praise God. Amen. Oh, tonight what we need to do is not have anything to do with that stuff. Don't touch it. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I'll be a father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, tonight, are you wanting to really touch people's lives? You touch the right things and not the wrong things. You touch only the right things. Oh, tonight, isn't it a known fact that Children have to be touched to live, so to speak. They've got to have a parent's touches. I've known of fathers that wouldn't really show the real godly love and touches to a daughter that he ought to. Now, take me right. I'm trying to say this right. Nothing wrong. But there's nothing wrong in a father giving the right touches to his daughter. I saw a minister in Monarch, and he has been so careful as far as I know. And I've never, hardly ever seen him touch his grown daughter, not put his arm around him or anything. And they were strolling down the main street, so to speak, of Monarch, down the main drag or street there, a Monarch, and he had one arm around his wife and one arm around his oldest daughter. And I looked at that, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I commented to her about that later. And I said, and she said, yeah, there's, I think some other people made some comments about that too. You just didn't see. And I know of another man, and his children have turned out well. He evidently touched them the right times and the right ways in their lives in every way that blessed them and helped them. And most every one of his children are living for God. But I know another brother and his wife, which is kin to my Rebecca Ann. And his wife told me in person, we was talking on the phone, or maybe we said two or three or four of us talking together, and she said, what my husband did is he never was affectionate in the right way to his daughters in any way. He just didn't show them the love and the concern and the touches. I'm going to tell you tonight, children have to have it, and the children of God have got to have it too. A marriage where there is no love and affection will die. You've got to have that. It's only natural. People want to be touched. Don't you want to be touched? I like to be touched. I'm going to tell you, there's another angle to go. Let's move on here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:9. I'm going to stay in my subject here. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Now, if I'm understanding this scripture right, in other words, this congregation was doing quite good on the line of brotherly love, and you don't really need that I need to write about you. You're taught yourselves of God, love one another. We're all taught ourselves by the Word and the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you there's some real lacks in this line. Amen. I don't know what you know, but I know what I'm talking about. There's some real lacks in the line of brotherly love to one another in the church of God. A lot of people calling love ain't love, folks. It just is not love. There needs to be some godly love. There needs to be some touches of brother to brother and sister to sister and some workings of one with another. It said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Amen. This is what's going to show them. Yeah. There's nothing wrong in a brother going up and putting his arm around some brother and saying, I love you and I want you to be encouraged and I'm praying for you. If you know somebody's in trouble, get behind them, praise the Lord. Yeah. Don't go off talking about them, get right in behind them and nestle up close, so to speak. If you need me any time for prayer, just let me know it. I'll pray for you. Show them some love, praise God. Touch them. Put your arm around them. Say, I love you. There's nothing better in the world than the world than three words, I love you. Brothers, how often do you tell your wives you love them? This is another big lack, too. Three easy words. Some men can't hardly even say it. Darling, I love you. Young men around here, I'm going to tell you, I want to ask you, brother, another question. When you was going with your darlings, when you was courting them, how many times did you open the doors for them? Let them in the cars, let them in the house, while you'd nearly trip over yourself trying to help them, praise God. What do you do today? Right. Yep. Lord, help us now. This is me too now. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I'm quite as diligent to open doors as I used to, but I help Becky a lot.
When the children come along, we have to help and work one another. But I'm going to tell you tonight, young men, remember three of the most precious words that your darling can ever hear out of your mouth is in sincerity.
I love you.
Somebody said, well, just show it in deed and in truth. Well, that's all right, but they need to hear it once in a while too.
Amen.
Bible said, show it in deed, praise God. Not in word and in tongue, I believe it says, but in deed and in truth. Is that the way it says over there in 1 John?
Yes.
Show it in...
Brother, glory to God.
Thank the Lord. In deed and in truth. Listen, folks, we need to show one another that we love one another. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, this will heal a lot of wounds around about places. One brother, older minister, said one time, if you have, see, what is it, a battle or a problem with somebody or something. I don't remember now. I didn't hear him say it. I just heard it repeated back. But he said, what you need to do is just go across the room and put your arm around that brother. Or if it's a sister with a sister, sister around the sister, and said, I love you, and I love you. And you do this, you get everything worked out. Praise God. That's a good way to start. Nestle up real close to them. Praise God. Stay right there till the love of God is flowing heart to heart. Working between you. Praise God. Oh, tonight, are we showing? This congregation was really doing well, evidently, if I'm understanding this scripture right. There's touching brotherly love. But I'm going to tell you tonight, how's this congregation doing? I don't know. I ain't throwing no stones at nobody. I'm just asking, how are you doing here at Pacoima with brotherly love one to another? You got any small differences? I pastored a congregation. I know a little more about this stuff than they used to now. And I'm going to find out everything ain't always hunky-dory, so to speak. There's a little problem here, a little one over there. Somebody come to you over here. But I'm going to tell you this stuff will iron out if the brotherly love is flowing, folks. I mean, it'll hail and work and it'll sob and it'll melt. It'll destroy walls. It'll do things that nothing else will do when love gets to work in them congregation. Praise God. All right, are we showing that real concern to one another? Oh, we need to show that concern tonight. Praise God. There isn't nothing like that concern. 2 Thessalonians 3:4. We have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. The Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and in the patient waiting for Christ. Now, he felt like that they were so zealous in the things of God that they were just going to do everything that the Word told them to do and he taught them. Now, there seems to be, I'm just talking frank with you tonight, there seems to be a real lack round about today of this very thing. Maybe it's not here. But I know some places where the preacher can preach things, they'll go, well, that's just old brother so-and-so, and they'll just go and do anything they want to do. I'm not talking about major sin, but I'm just talking about little things that, well, preach on the dress question, let's say. Somebody say, well, that's just brother so-and-so, we don't need to worry about that. Or that's just sister so-and-so, no, I don't need to worry about that. Lord, help us. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to touch the lives of others, we're going to have to be willing to do what God asks us to do in every way. We're not ever going to help the world till the church of God is exactly what it needs to be in the vision and the workings of the Spirit of God in every way. Somebody said, well, I don't want to wear long sleeves no more. I want to get them up to here. My skirt, I don't need it down to about here. I want to get it up close to my knee. And the brother said, well, I want this, and I want to add here, and I want to take off, and I want to do this. I'm going to tell you there's plenty of adding, subtracting, and multiplying, and division, and so forth in the Word of God. And it touches everything spiritual, praise God. And it'll get you to heaven, praise the Lord. And it said there, if you do these things, you'll have no lack of, or however that scripture goes, I believe there and Timothy or Peter, but praise God, you and I need to be willing to do everything the Lord says for us to do. I will tell you, hearing. I wonder sometimes if there isn't some people around that just don't hear much anymore. Like I said, preachers preach things and seem like people just kind of shake it like water on a duck's back and there it goes and it's gone. They don't even pay much attention to it.
You can preach against things and go in homes, and there they are, right there, just big as life, staring you in the face. You preach against things. I'm talking about old-time preachers. Some people come along and say, I want old-time gospel preaching. I heard a man say one time here a while back, he said, I ain't heard this preached on in 30 years. I said, where have you been? I've been preached on for the last 15, and I know others have been preaching right along the same line. Where are you at? I said this myself. I didn't tell him this. But I know it's been preached, bless your heart. But it's not the fact. The Bible said, cry aloud and spare not. And if you don't warn the righteous and don't warn the wicked and so forth of these things and cry out against them, their blood's going to be on your shoulder. It's not the minister's fault. Where it's lying is the saints in the camp. There's where the problem is.
That's right.
Amen. That's where it's at. It's a hearing. People are too fast to talk and too slow to hear. The Bible says swift to hear and slow to speak. People got it backwards today. What we need to do, praise God, is get our hearing tuned up and everything that come across the pulpit, be willing when it's anointed and blessed by the Spirit of God, be willing to listen to it and be willing to measure to it. It's God's working, praise the Lord. I'll go a little further with that. Now, I've heard people say that, well, I just heard the saints taught it, and I just quit doing it, or I didn't do it, or whatever. That's fine. I've got no problems with that. But there's a deeper thing in the Word of God than that.
Yes.
And that is getting a conviction.
Amen. That's right.
When it's preached across the pulpit, a lot of times that just opens the doors. Maybe you've been studying on it, and it just clenched it, just like that. Or maybe it just opened your understanding. Would you be willing to go home and pray about it, and let the Lord touch you? And let Him speak to you by the Word and the Spirit and unravel and open up and enlighten to the depth and give you a real conviction on this thing. He said you should know the truth and the truth should make you free, praise God. There's a progressive freedom in this thing, praise the Lord. Now I know there's initial work in the heart, but as you go on, there's more and more and more and deeper walks and broader and higher heights than we've ever had, praise God. And you get a real conviction. I'm going to tell you, then the devil ain't got nothing to tear down. He's got things to shoot at, but you've got a foundation you're standing on, and it'll stand when the storms are blowing. Praise God. Some people said, well, I just do it because Grandma or because the saints said do it or so forth. You've got a little bit of a foundation there, but that ain't what the Word and the Spirit conducted and worked that worked out in your heart. There's where you get this thing. Praise God. Then you can say, I do it because the Lord said do it. I do it because thus saith the word of the Lord. And somebody said, why do you all say you can live above sin? Because it says it right here in the Word. And I've proved it, tried it, tested it, and it works. Praise God. Oh, tonight, touching. Are we touching lives? Are we really touching lives? You know, there was some children in a school one time. This has been a number of years ago. And one young lady was all zealous and saved and had a real experience and just living and going right on and being a blessing to people. There was some others over here that wasn't what they ought to be, and maybe there's some more who wasn't even saved. So here comes this one on fire for God, and she said, well, we don't do this, we don't do this, and so forth. She's living the life. And then these others are coming around the line behind her and saying, well, I just do everything I want to do. And then somebody said, where are y'all going to church at? Well, the one on fire said, I'm going down here to so-and-so street, block, and corner, and there's where my meeting is. And these others are coming along. They're saying, yeah, we're going down there too. You know what happens? It confuses people. Because people don't really know what the Word of God says and teaches. And what we do, folks, if some people, and this ain't only in children, but this is in some other people too, some grown-up, bless your heart, people round about, if a congregation has been established for any length of time, all right, I'll use Guthrie, for instance, because it's a small town, and Guthrie's been around for a long time, and not because I pastored there, that don't have anything to do with it, but the people there are known. Well, you can just go into businesses and say, well, I know this, you know that, and so forth. Well, they just know about one another all over town. And if some people say, yeah, we don't do this, but then other people are coming along and they just do it and go on and don't make no matter, I'm going to tell you, it not only touches the wrong points, it touches the congregation, it touches the pastor, it touches the Holy Ghost, it touches Christ, and it touches God, and it does damage all the way up the line. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that?
Amen.
It'll do a lot of damage. Somebody said, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, you're doing the wrong touches when you're not following the old-time tradition paths that God has set for us through the Word by the Spirit. Oh, tonight we need to be willing to follow the traditions that Christ has set for us. Praise God. Oh, tonight, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to follow those traditions that have been set? He said, I preached it and you done it. Praise God, I had confidence in that. Today seem like people just are not doing what they ought to be doing. All right, let's go to Acts 5:35. Somebody get me Psalms 105:15, please. Acts 5:35 said, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that ye intend to do as touching these men. Now, this was a doctor, and if I'm not mistaken, there was some people fixing to do some things to the saints there. Stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Thank you. And he just spoke to them, said, you take heed to yourselves. What you intend to do is touching these men. He knew what they was going to do. He knew they was up to no good. He knew there was going to be some real problems. And he gave them a thorough warning. All right, give me 105:15 of Psalms, please.
Touch not mine anointed.
Touch not mine anointed.
Do my prophets no harm.
Do my prophets no harm. All right. Now, as touching these men, there's another place that seems like people have lost their respect for, and that is the ministry to a certain extent. And they do not care how they touch the ministers in any way. He said, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. I'm going to tell you tonight, some people do not mind laying hands on the minister, so to speak. I'm not talking about physically, but literally, and doing anything they want to do with them. They'll stab them in the back, gossip on them, write letters. They'll make phone calls. They'll chew. There's been people that have chewed people out to their face, laying hands almost literally on them and letting them have it over the telephone and every other way. There is no real respect that there ought to be. Listen tonight. The same God that wrote that, touch not mine anointed, is the same God that's alive tonight. And saints, we'd be wise to be careful how we handle ourselves. The ministry is the anointed of God. And we need to be careful what we say and what we do. People don't have the real fear of God on their heart. They just do whatever they want to do. I'm going to tell you, there have been some people suffered because of that. Was it Saul and David? And he got to a place where he could have killed him and he wouldn't kill him. He said, I will not touch him. God's anointed. What did he do? He cut off a corner of his skirt, wasn't it? Just to let him know he'd been there. That he could have done what he wanted to do, but he wouldn't do it. I'm going to tell you tonight, the people round about would be wise. Take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. This is one area we don't want to touch. This would be wise as far as the people around us and relatives and unsaved are concerned. Be careful what we do as touching. People don't care. They don't seem to anyway. They will just do anything they want to do today. And saints, it's wrong then, it's wrong now. Lord, help us tonight to be careful in what we touch, who we touch, how we touch. The Lord wants us to touch right. that we might be a blessing to souls. Praise God. Let's go to Luke 23. Let's finish up here, if we can, here shortly. 23 and about 14 here. 13, 12. And same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man to me as one that perverteth the people. Behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching these things whereof you accuse him." Now, he had been brought in. He had been examined. The things that he was accused of was laid out. He couldn't find anything wrong with him. Found no fault in this man. Are we living that clear and clean today? Was it Daniel? I believe it was Daniel. Yes, it was. Where they made a statement something like that. I can find no fault, nothing wrong with him. They looked and they examined those men that was trying to do him wrong. They couldn't find anything anywhere to get anything on him. Are we living a life that close that people cannot touch our lives in those areas? Jesus was in a perfect position. He was in a good place, so to speak. Those things that are brought up, there wasn't nothing there. Tonight, praise God, I'm going to tell you, we need to be living such a life that anything, anybody, by the workings of the devil, tries to bring anything up, our lives need to be clean enough where the people can say, there's nothing to it. We can leave ourselves open to the gunshots of the enemy and do ourselves great harm if we don't live this close to God right here. We're going to have to be in touch with God to live this kind of life. Job was a perfect man, wasn't he? The Lord Himself testified of Job of what he was. Praise God. Daniel, the same way, basically. God blessed. Why did He bless these men? Because there could be no fault found in them, but they were perfect men in the eyes of God in the days they lived in. Praise God. You and I can be perfect in the eyes of God in the days we live in today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you, people are finding too many loopholes sometimes. And you know why? Because we've left too many open doors behind us, and they can shoot at us. And they can gun us down. Listen, folks, we need to be in a place where when they examine us, oh, there ain't nothing there. I don't know anything that I can say wrong about them. There ain't a thing I've ever found in that man or woman's life. Praise God. This needs to be the kind of statement said about the church of God. It's a perfect and a pure and a holy and a righteous church. Praise God. This is the type of church that the Lord's coming after. Has no wrinkle, spot, any such thing. Praise the Lord. But it's holy and without blemish. And the Lord's going to come get her one of these days. Praise God. Let's go to Jeremiah 1:16. Got a couple more scriptures here we'll be through. And I'll utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now, the Lord's judgments here, I'll utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness. Now, some people, they may think that the Lord does not see and know and understand everything you and I have to do. But He does. And some people, let's see, how does that scripture go? Whosoever covereth up sin shall not prosper. He that covereth up sin, maybe that's the way it goes. He that covereth up sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. Now, there is some people that I dare say feels like that they got things covered so well nobody knows anything about it, but they're fooling themselves because God's known it all along. And He can reach down and touch it anytime He wants to. And we can get to a place where we have deceived ourselves and got ourselves in a real mess, believing what we're doing is all right, and is condemned by the Word and the Spirit of God. And God dealing. I believe the Lord is so to speak, having a hallelujah time, and they're in the wrong all the time. I'm going to tell you, God knows all about our wickedness. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to utter my judgments against them. I'm going to tell you, if we want to get ourselves into trouble and get the judgments of God coming down on us, just go dabble around with wickedness and sin for a while. Who have forsaken me, have burned incense unto other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hand. Tonight, if there's anything God hates, and that's idols in the lives of people. How many idols do you have tonight? Anybody got any idols here? If the Lord was to come through your house tonight, would He find any? Somebody said, well, there ain't no idols in my home. I ain't got none of them little images sitting around anywhere. I'm going to tell you, idol today goes a lot deeper than that. An idol is anything that stands between you and God. And there's a lot of people have got old idol self between them and God, giving them a lot of trouble that needs to get crucified and destroyed by the power of the working of the Spirit of God. Idol self is doing so much damage in the world today. And the reason people are not able to touch the lives of the people is because idol self is on display. And one person was telling me the other day, said, I is a mighty big person that's doing a lot of damage, so to speak. I is right there, just I this and I that, so to speak. Old I self is doing much damage, and it's a great idol in a lot of people's eyes, and they don't even see it. It's standing between them and God. Self is keeping them from getting the real benefits of the working of the Spirit of God. We can have it tonight if we will, but we got to get all these things out of the way. Whoa, tonight there's a lot of idols. Let's finish 1 John 5:18. Said here, and we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Tonight, this is where you and I need to be. He said there that whosoever are born of God sinneth not. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Praise God. He's in a position. He said here over here in another place. Let's see, where is it at here? If I can find it here. No, let's see here. All right, 4:4, 1 John said, you're of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I'm going to tell you tonight, you and I can overcome him. We can live the life because the one that is in us is doing the living. Praise God. It's not you, but Christ that liveth in you, the Bible declares. And we can touch the lives of the people if we live this kind of life by the Word of God. Are we touching lives? What have we done in the last 10 years for God? 20 years? 30 years? What have we done the last week? How many lives have we touched? You know, tonight there is lives that are going out into eternity, and there is people that have touched people that has made eternal touches and destinations because of their touches. Touches don't mean much if they don't really last, so to speak. Like I said, those things, my wife and my children touch me forever. Young people, sometimes young people get all to a place where they want to get married and they want to have a companion. That's only natural and right. And some people, some parents make a mistake. They say, well, my child's so mature, it's all right if they get married at 15 or 16 or somewhere along in there. I'll be honest with you, I'm against children getting married that young. I think they're too young to get married, and that's where I get in hot water more times than one, but I'm still going to say it. By the help of the Lord. And it ain't because I waited to 30 to get married that I say that. I ain't going to bind that on nobody either. But what we need to do is we need to seek God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. And somebody said, it's all right if I get married at 16 or 15 and it's going to be all right. But the thing of it is, the things they're missing. Now, marriage is wonderful, but it's what you're missing that's going to hurt you. And the thing is that once you're married, you're never the same after that. I don't care if your husband gets killed or if your wife gets killed, you're never single again. Not like you was. Now, you may be a widow or a widower, but that is not the same as being pure and holy before God and never having a companion. There is no comparison. It's different from that point on, and that thing will go with you to eternity. You've been touched, see? You've been touched by the life of another person, and that will go with you all the way to eternity. Listen, folks, there's been people that have touched people's lives that have made a complete change and difference in that people's life, praise God. You and I can make some differences in the lives of the people for all eternity, praise God. And it may not be. You may touch a person, and they may not live very long, and they'll be gone out into eternity. We need to be certain that the lives that we live are in such an order that when we touch people, it makes a difference. We're dealing with eternity. That's what makes this touching business serious.
Yes.
We're dealing for eternity. Do we really grasp that? Do I really grasp that tonight? We're doing business with God. We're doing business with souls. But for eternity, there was a man that was in a meeting one time in an Indian reservation up in South or North Dakota. Brother Salmon and some of the saints went up there and was in this meeting, a 10-day tent camp meeting. And this man was sick, I believe it was. And Brother Mark was called to come down there. And they got to dealing and working. And the Lord had touched this man, and he was of a spiritual mind and condition and repented. He was ready to get saved. And Brother Mark prayed with him, and they prayed through, and the man lived about 24 hours and died and went out to meet the Lord. That was a touch that didn't last very long, so to speak, but it went right out. That's serious. Do you realize that you could touch a life today, you may never see that person again, and they could be dead, and you can look back and say, I wonder if my touch made a difference? I wasn't full-time very long in the gospel. I'd been preaching about 5 years at this time, but I hadn't been full-time very long. And I went to a little old place out in the country in a boot hill in Missouri called Zenith, Missouri. And we were down there, and there was a woman come, and she had come regular off and on, I guess. And I think her family gave the chapel or sold the chapel to the saints. And she was there. And there was two messages preached that day. That was in September, October. And the very next December, she died. I never got back down there at that point, at that time. And you know what one of my first thoughts were? I thought those messages could have been the last messages of truth she ever heard. Did she make heaven? Or was she lost? As far as I know, she made heaven. I don't know anything but that. But see how serious this thing is? Our lives touching other people. The very messages. Somebody said, well, it don't matter what you preach. Yes, it does. Because that could be the very last message that person hears. That's what stirred my heart. What did you preach, Carl? Did it really do the effect that God wanted it to do? She's gone now. And I don't know that she ever heard another message from the same minister after that. Hardly anybody ever did get down there. But I'm going to tell you, that brings sobering thoughts. Well, the same thing with you. Every one of us are a minister in the sense of the word. And our lives, the touching that we're doing, is it having the effect to send them to heaven? Let us stand. Sing a song. Appreciate your attention tonight, being here. If anybody would like to pray, let's come and pray tonight. Is our lives beneficial to souls and to God? God wants our lives touching people. Are we touching it right? Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.